Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn, everybody is talking about it, but how many event organizers actually succeed in using social media? How many of them make money with it? Gerrit Heikoop knows all the secrets of using social media successfully for your event. Hi Gerrit, welcome to our studio.
Thank you, Kevin. Very nice to be here again.
We are going to talk about social media.
Yes.
Social media, is it just a hype or is there a real opportunity for businesses to do something with it?
I believe it's both. It definitely has characteristics of a typical hype curve, as we see in many technological innovations, meaning that people get a little over-enthusiastic and it's the new solution for everything.
Yeah.
Then over the hype curve, you have kind of this reality check. Is this really worth it?
Yeah.
And then we get to a level where this is just another normal means of communication, which can be very valuable and has many opportunities.
I notice a lot of people spend a lot of time on social media. But if you look at the outcome, there's almost nothing. How comes?
Depends what you define as an outcome. What do you mean with that?
Well, I think if you organize an event, for example, and you use social media in the first track of organizing an event, meaning you want to gain more visitors to your event, and it results in zero additional visitors.
So the good thing here is, I think you should always measure the effect of social media on your business objectives. So if you say my business objective is more visitors, that's where you should measure. Then the next question is, what were you doing with your social media channels, right? Were you using Twitter and Facebook to push that message out there, come to my event, come to my event? Then we can share very quickly that probably won't work.
But what does work?
Well, I believe, first of all, you should see social media as just another means of communication, like email, like a telephone, like old-fashioned direct mailings. And in that metaphor, you couldn't either say, you know, telephone, it doesn't have any benefits for our organization. It means what you do with it. So if you call people and do cold calls saying, come to my event, it might not have so much use. But back to the social media, what you should do is, social media is a great opportunity to either have more engagement and interaction with your audience on a more frequent basis, to better know what they care about, what's their common place of care. And then you could tap into that with the content of your event, with the content of your messages, and the conversion into more visitors will be a result of that.
Yeah.
So you see, so the gaining more visitors shouldn't be an objective on your social media activities themselves, no. Because you have a lot of conversation and interaction on social media, you create a lot of buzz, you get better informed, and that will result in more visitors.
Do you have an example of an event that does really well in this?
Well, what I like in an international context is the way that the IMAX trade shows are approaching this. They do a couple of things right, but let me pick one thing out of that. That is how they try to open up the show floor to the outside world. Yeah. So they have their, I should be honest here, I mean, we are involved in this project.
Yeah,
so obviously this is our project as well. But what we do is we run the IMAX social team. And the IMAX social team is there to give a visitor's perspective on the show floor, on exhibitors, on stuff that all the stuff that's going on, and is capturing that and transferring that in Twitter, in Facebook, in Instagram, whatever messages is out there. And what it does is it gives the community at the trade show content to interact with, to like, to share to their networks, but it also gives the people who are not at the live event an idea of what's going on there, and hopefully next time they want to be there because they like who else is there, what's going on. It's a lot of fun.
You were mentioning that you could use social media during the event, but of course there are many stages of an event in the organizing phase, during the event and after the event.
Yes.
Can you give some examples of what you can do in those different stages with social media?
Yes, definitely. Beforehand in the event, obviously the main, and we kind of talked about it when you asked whether it was an opportunity or an hype, it's mainly all about generating the buzz, getting your event name or your brand out there, getting the fact that the event is there out there, or the other component, which I might even like better, using it as a business intelligence tool to understand what the content of your event should be, whether it's more like a serious conference about what topics should you address, what speakers do you want to have, or if it's more on the pleasure side, maybe it's like what artists do we want to have, what kind of music, what activities do we want to do.
Yeah. And during the event then?
Well, so during the event, there's a couple of things you can do. Like we discussed in the IMEX example, mm-hmm. you can open up your event to the outside world from local to global. Mm-hmm. But a very important part is also like web care. You know, it's mm-hmm. 2013 and you can assume that a lot of people of your event have access to these networks, right? Mm-hmm. And whether it's Facebook or Twitter or anything, these are just common means of communication. So yeah. if people run into problems or questions at your event, they're going to expect that they can reach you really quickly mm-hmm. in real time via these channels. And on the other hand, for you as an organizer, it's really simple to be there real time with your visitors, use their cameras as your eyes to see what's going on in different places at your event and take action if necessary.
Yep. Also during an event, Twitter wall is of course something popular, mm-hmm. but not everybody is yet on Twitter. There are still people that don't use those media.
A lot.
How do you handle that?
A lot. Well, Twitter, an interesting thing about Twitter is, I mean, there's a lot of buzz and fuzz around mm-hmm. Twitter, and I think event or Twitter is and live events are a match made in heaven, mm-hmm. mainly because of the public character. So you could find people at the event that you don't know yet and start networking with. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, like you say, a lot of people don't use Twitter. So you should think about that. You should kind of like make a count up front and have an estimation of how many people know how to use this. And there's other tools in the market that could do the same, right? If you want to use Twitter to ask questions to a speaker, well, there's tools like SendSteps or more sophisticated voting or mm-hmm. audience response systems that could solve that. So that's always a trade-off from, am I going to the free publicly available tools like Twitter? Yeah. Or am I investing in a more advanced tool? Well, after the event, there's a couple of things you can do. It's very easy to kind of extend the lifetime of your event, obviously mm-hmm. because of you sharing the content, the photos, the slides, the videos, all that kind of stuff. So people like relive that memory. Mm-hmm. Well, that's easy stuff and we've been doing that for years. But in social media channels, that's just really easy to share. What seems to be more difficult, and I haven't seen many examples mm-hmm. of events succeeding in that, but the promise should be that you could extend the conversation, right?
Yeah.
But obviously technologically that's possible. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are tools to keep the conversation going, but I must admit, and I also experienced that as an event attendee myself.
Yep.
Obviously, you have the week after, you have the follow-ups, the LinkedIn mm-hmm. connections, the tweets, the sharing of the content, and then it dies down. But the benefit for that is if you build up these channels, if you build up your following on Twitter, on Facebook, or whatever mm-hmm. your network is, the next time you run your event, those people are still there, right? They are already in your Twitter account as your followers or in your Facebook page as your likers. So it's fairly easy to pick that up again and get that attention and get the people who were there last year back into your event next year.
You already mentioned a lot of social media channels like Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and so on. But as an event organizer, which one of them should I use, or all of them?
Well, the easiest answer, mm-hmm. and maybe the difficult one, but you should use the one where your audience is.
That's obvious.
Well, it's obvious, yet a lot of people come to me and say, I want to use Twitter. Okay, why? Yeah. Yeah, because Twitter is a big thing. Well, do you know that your audience is in Twitter? So yes, it's easy, yet a lot of people seem to forget that. And in order to find out how many people are on different networks and where they are, that is just a matter of doing your homework. Yep. And there is some technological tricks. So you could like let Twitter or LinkedIn or Pinterest, so to speak, scan your email addresses mm-hmm. if you have a database of the people that you want to invite and see how many of those email addresses pop up as Twitter accounts. But you could also fairly easy ask it in your registration, but then obviously you're further down in the process. Ask it, what channels are you on? What do you use it for? Or you can just listen, search the channels, and if you are doing a conference for meeting planners, mm-hmm. Start to find out where they are and with how many and if it's anything for them at all.
A lot of businesses are afraid of criticism on social media.
Yeah.
But how do you handle, for example, a complaint on Twitter?
Well, the interesting thing I find about that conversation mm-hmm. is, so people, the literal comment is then, well, what if someone says something bad about my event? Well, the thing is, if you would not use Twitter and I would tweet something bad about Event Planner mm-hmm. TV, the fact that you don't use Twitter, would that not make that complaint happen, you know?
Yeah.
So that question
happens.
Exactly. The question is not even with the event planner whether that works.
Yeah.
So If we understand that, then we better say, okay, so if that could happen, I better make sure that I'm out there at least listening to the stuff that's going on. And then, yeah, it's fairly easy, but then you can say a complaint is an opportunity, right? Because if apparently somebody in your event is unhappy, well, they are, whether you hear it or not, and whether they can express it or not. But now they have the opportunity to express that. And if you are listening, you can actually handle, take action on that and solve stuff. Or if it's unreasonable, you could at least know that that vibe is out there. And the good thing about social media is if you have a strong brand in social media, you won't be on your own. You will build a community of maybe fans or at least people who like you around you. And if there's really dishonest stuff going on, really people that try to break you down, they will step up. Because if I like Event Planner TV and I see someone bashing that, I don't like that because I like this brand and I will defend you instead of yourself. You're not alone, you know?
So you can count on the community.
Yeah, if you have invested in that. And and that takes time, right? That's not a one-off thing like the first time you're out there. So it is a two-way thing. Yes, you could be more vulnerable because you give access to these channels and you will hear it if it's not good. On the other hand, well, if it's not good, you better fix it.
Indeed. Yeah. What do you expect from the future? Will Facebook, for example, still exist in within 5 years?
No. No.
Okay, that's a bold expression.
Yeah, that's a bold expression, but I like to make it. I think Facebook will die maybe in 2, maybe in 5 years. And specifically on Facebook, I believe that because they are so hard trying to monetize on the network that they've been trying to interfere with the core user experience. Yeah. You might recognize it that you now get ads inside your timeline. Well, that is my core user experience, and we all know we don't like that. So I think it's a matter of time that something else pops up and we think, hey, that's better and it's less ads or a better user experience. So that in terms of Facebook. On the other hand, I see something else happening in the social media realm, and that is that we start to communicate in smaller groups. For example, so for a couple of years we've been broadcasting. All of a sudden, everybody could broadcast, whether I'm this little guy from here or I'm a big corporate. And now I see a rise of WhatsApp groups. You know, WhatsApp, the free kind of SMS or texting tool. And all of a sudden, we don't do that one-to-one, but you see all these groups with friends and with colleagues and project teams. And okay, so we have the groups there. We see a strong focus on groups in Facebook working. We see the Google Circles, Google Plus Circles that work like that. And what that tells me, I haven't figured out exactly what it would mean that we should act on it, but what it means is that we're getting less public. And we're getting more focused. So I have certain content that I want to share with this certain group, and I have this content that I want to share with this group. Example, for example, for my own personal situation, we with How Can I Be Social are now with a team of 4. Maybe in a couple of months we might be 6 or 8, and we have this Facebook group. It's closed off. It's only for us. And that's where we share stuff we're working on or inspiration or funny links or whatever stuff. And that just feeds the conversation in our office. I guess we should really come to understand where these groups are, what their common place of care is, and how we can maybe then feed that with relevant content. Maybe join the conversation. But at least make sure that our content is in there so people can talk about that. And that is very different than shouting our marketing message in these groups, right? That is a very different approach.
If you could give the people watching our show one last piece of advice.
It's not about you. Okay. That is the most difficult mindset that you need to change, especially if you're in marketing. And I will be honest, even I have sometimes difficulty with that because it's so easy to say like, oh, but Event Planner is the best. How can I do social? Like me. No. But the funny thing is, if you understand that this is all about conversation and conversation about stuff that people care about, well, unless you're Coca-Cola or Heineken, people are not a fan of your brand and they're not
or
sitting
Apple
there.
Or something.
Exactly. They're not sitting there waiting for your content to come about. So instead, you should share and work and think about content that they do care about and then make sure you're the source of that.
Yeah.
Because then if you have great content and you have topics of conversation, you're the source, you become relevant as a source, and maybe I'll grow into a fan of you.
Gerrit, I want to thank you for this inspiring interview.
Well, my pleasure. Very big.
And thank you for watching our show. I hope to see you next episode.